Yeah, here we go.
This shit right here, the Rock Army, Dame Dash presents the Dream Team niggas, word.
Time after time,
what's up, y'all?
Yo,
this is Dame Dash, the CEO of the Rock. Here to welcome y'all to the Dream Team. What y'all niggas thought I was gonna rank? I'm just a little mad niggas coming at my neck like my teammate the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't got beef. We don't care. Chain. We are the
champions. My friends. And we will keep on fighting till the end.
Great team.
We are the
niggas are about they stem for a change. Then make it they can finally figure out how to get themselves some change. Jealousy make niggas do this terrible thing. Had a song going to a hope, oh yeah, should have never changed. That's so curvy though, we are the champions. Spend a lot of time in Hampton, yo. Do a lot of this, you can't be young.
Old school, yay. Back with another episode of Black Noise.
So today, as y'all know this season, we're doing a lot of guests. I got my big homie, Chris. Say what's up to the people out there.
What's up, people? What's good? What's good?
Yeah. So Chris is another homie like Eric. I've known since sixth grade when I moved to the east side. We was in Mr. Coglin class. That's how I met my nigga Chris and shit. So last night when I was fucking around on the internet and I brought up that we are the champions, it got me thinking like, you was a big fan of the Dipset era?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that shit was like, I remember like that shit just took over because when Cam popped first with the Hey Ma and all that shit.
Yeah.
And it came out like the whole city went crazy though. Like, I don't know what is about. Like, Cam'ron had some kind of connection to this city. Like, it was like some drug shit or something.
Had to be some drug shit, yeah. Man, cause what else would it be? Cause we never heard his music before until he popped on the mainstream that.
Cause he, I remember like in the 90s he had that, What was that shit? And he shouted out the shot a couple times on the west side of Chicago looking for a bus down. Like, he knew our lingo and slang and shit. I was always wondering, like, what was Cam'ron's connection and shit? But what was you listening to during the high school years of 02 to 06?
Oh, man. 2002? Definitely Diplomatic Immunity 1. That was one of my favorite albums. I could play this two from beginning to end. This one has some hits on it too, but this two was great. 3-6 Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
triple C. We gonna touch them a little later.
Man, my roots go back with them real far. I'm talking about 90s going down to Memphis every year. Man, Jigga, like messing around with my uncle. He put me up on Jay-Z real hard. The black album. What was the compilation album?
Dynasty.
The Dynasty, Rock La Familia.
Woo!
Man.
That intro though, like, I remember I had that on
the hardest intro ever.
I know niggas say that Meek Mill intro is hard, but I don't know if it matched that Jay-Z intro.
Man, Eminem's still hot. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of different people, man. A lot of different people.
Were you up on the Jeezy wave?
I was.
Okay.
I was.
Like,
I had the t-shirts.
Yeah.
He had me buying Evisal. I'm talking about, I used to hoop in high school. Every time somebody would miss a free throw, everybody in the crowd would be like, at home games. Yeah, Jeezy was that man.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I was more into T.I. than Jeezy. I just didn't really think Jeezy had bars like that, but that first album, that trap with that shit, that shit took over the world.
They hit the street so hard, and man. Like, they wasn't ready for it.
Like,
and all he did was give basically you a day-to-day rundown on what he doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so real
that,
you know, the lower-level drug dealers on the street could connect to it. You know, they not making hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, but they like, man, I'm out here doing that.
He
talking about me.
So now I was, you touched on it a little bit. And I was talking to my homie Terrence, and we was talking about, like, he was big into No Limit.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, you know, Chicago's an interesting place of, Cause we in the middle, we kind of listen to all three coasts, right? Cause we can relate to the Cali shit cause they gang bang. We can relate to the East Coast shit cause we a big city, we got trains and big buildings. Mm-hmm. But like, our southern roots are really deep. Whereas like, you know, the New York niggas, they peoples come from like the Carolinas and Georgia. But it don't seem like they is like connected with their southern roots as us. Like, okay. Where in Chicago, if you ask somebody where their peoples from, 80-something% of black people gonna say Mississippi, Alabama, probably Memphis, Tennessee.
There you go.
And even sometimes when we talk, I didn't realize probably when the military niggas was like, you sound country, because like, I was saying Ka. And he's like, yeah. What did you just say, nigga? I was like, open
a Ka.
Like, and I didn't even realize that shit, but and like, you touched on the 3-6 Mafia. Tell me how you got into them niggas.
Oh, man. So, a majority of my family from Grand Junction, Tennessee. Mm. For those, you know, who know where that's at. That's like right on the borderline of Tennessee and Mississippi. Mm. You go 20 minutes that way, you're in Tennessee. You go 20 minutes the other way, you're in Mississippi. So after, you know, moving out of the country, a lot of people, you know, went to Memphis. And so a couple of my family members grew up in Orange Mound. And a lot of them from North Memphis still stay there to this day.
North.
So with that being said, you know, like 3-6 and A-Ball and MJG was a big thing in my family, going down there every year, every summer, listening to these guys. So I had my Chicago rap or whatever, you know, everybody know Biggie, Nas, all that stuff or whatnot, but I was real huge on 3-6, put a lot of my friends up on it. Cause they didn't know who these guys were, cause they hadn't reached, you know, their heights hadn't reached this far yet.
Yeah, including me, cause like, the first time I remember them was that, Teta Club. I remember seeing like on Box and BT. But that was kinda it. And you was the first nigga, cause you had that, what was the one that the album that had Sipping on Scissor and,
3-6 Mafia 6661.
Yeah, that shit. I remember
smoke
like,
clears.
Yeah, I remember like coming up to your crib and you had to it. And I was like, damn, man, those niggas go hard. And I was like, you in the 3-6. It kind of blew me because I knew who they was, but I was like, I had never really knew them. I was like, really up on them. So you put me on the 3-6 Mafia and shit. And then when I joined the military and I had niggas from the South, they was kind of surprised. They were like, what you know about 3-6? I was like, I know a little about that shit, nigga. Like, we go, that's what we don't understand. Like, that South shit go, all that Southern shit was big here. 8-Ball, AG, like you said, 3-6, No Limit, Cash Money was
big. Oh my God.
You had niggas up here saying, Wody, all that type of shit. Like, man.
With the damn bandanas.
Hell yeah.
Everything, man. That's crazy. Oh, shit. Oh man.
God damn. So, were you born and raised in the East Side?
Yeah, damn, I was.
Okay. So man, tell me about what was the neighborhood like? Because I came here like spring of 2000. So what was the neighborhood like in the 90s?
In the 90s, we actually, like, you know, I met you, O'Keefe Elementary.
Yeah.
Shout out to O'Keefe. You know, 69th or whatever. But we actually grew up on 79th, a little further east. Like
on the 79th?
Yeah, kind of where, in that area where Kanye grew up.
Mm.
So, you know, Essex, Colfax, Marquette, we were over there. Like, the buildings and everything that you see now are still the same buildings that were there now. They're just nice. They were nicer.
Yeah.
They were newer. It was more clean.
Yeah.
A lot of gang activity, but it was organized.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a lot of killing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what happened 10 years, 20 years after that, but that's basically how it was growing up. Like, all we did was go to Rainbow Beach and hoop.
Yeah.
Like, listen to rap, mess around in the neighborhood, go to school. Yeah. Like, that was life on 79th, man, for the kids.
Damn. You was going to keep when you was on 79?
Yeah.
Damn. Why you didn't go to,
Well, a lot of my cousins, most of my friends, they went to Bradwell and, you know, things of that nature, but my grandmother was actually trying to get us on 67th, so we kind of stayed over here. She was like, no, you're going to keep going to school over here. Because, you know, people go through problems or whatever, so, like, we moved into our first crib. We were staying on 67th for a hot minute, but then we lost the crib. And that's when we stayed on 79th in Big Ma House, 77th and Exchange for years until they got their money up and then we came back on 67th and Merrill and that's when I met you.
Yeah.
So she wanted to keep me in that school system.
Yeah.
Because all of them went to Bradwell, Adam Clayton Powell, you know, schools like that.
Yeah.
But nah.
Damn. I was watching some like interviews with like Bump J and you remember when niggas come up with them like DVD type shits?
Smack DVDs and stuff?
Yeah, but I was looking at his that like Walking the Grimy deal and he was talking about his brother got killed like on 67 and Clyde.
Yeah.
And I forget like how close he was. Like, I think we were like kind of like in high school by the time he started to blow up.
Yeah.
And how like much of a hood for the city. Like, we really thought he was gonna blow up. Like, I remember,
we did.
Like, yo, he the next one. You know what I mean? And he was like right from the hood, like, yeah, right over there,
down the street.
And that, and like, he was talking about the BON tattoo, and it brought me back to. I remember the first time I heard BON. I remember Andrew was talking about that shit in seventh grade, like, yeah, big old niggas and shit. I didn't know what the fuck they was talking about. I was like,
it was
like some game type shit. Like,
you know what, dog? Yeah. The crazy thing about the BONs, back then we won grammar school, like, it was a couple of dudes, you know, that were probably early 20s or whatever, but 90% of that gang was made up of little niggas.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Eighth graders, freshmen, yeah, in high school, yeah, like, and they was all from the neighborhood, just grew up together, just basically decided to do some shit because, I mean, if you're from Chicago, you're from the East Side, you know, the Four Corner Hustlers are not originated on the east side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, they migrated over here. Yeah. And that's where you get the term, you know what I'm saying, 4CH and Solid Four from. Mm. Cause it's a difference between the east side Four Corner Hustlers and a west side Four Corner Hustlers.
Mm. Speak on that more.
So, you know, west side Four Corner Hustlers, you got Body Snatchers, you know, things of that nature. You know, they central, you know, Central and Congress, places like that where you would know them from.
Yeah.
But then you got this small pocket of Four Corner Hustlers on the east side of Chicago, probably from 73rd-ish to about 67th. And they all centralized in that one area, you know, probably Clyde to probably right before Stony Island.
Yeah.
And that's the only place you will find them, yeah, on the east side of Chicago, yeah, outside of the west side.
Yeah.
So, man, yeah, man, that's that. Like,
damn, because is Herbal a fool?
Ooh, man. I don't even know, man.
See,
I think he had No Limit. I'm not even sure.
What is that? See, that's the thing where it's like these like renegade that's like that don't like ride under like the normal gang.
Yeah.
Like, what is No Limit?
Okay, so it's No Limit thing. So you got a bunch of gangs. You got the GDs, you got the Foes, you got the Vice Lords. You know all the gangs in Chicago.
Yeah.
So what they'll do, they'll basically click up together and be on some get money type shit. Like, no beefing, no none of that.
Yeah.
We know we from different gangs, but we gonna click together, we gonna get this money. And that's where you get this No Limit thing from.
Mm.
Cause you know, back in our day, even before that, if you was under this flag, you was under this flag.
Yeah.
You hung with them, you sold dope with them, you got money with them, you partied with them, never with the other.
Yeah.
That ain't how it is in 2020, man.
Cause that's how me and my nigga Terrence, cause he affiliated with the BDs. We was talking about how, like, I remember, like, you had to know your lit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You like, spit your lit. Like, you were on the 5 or the 6. Like, it was these marked things. I mean, in a weird way, it was, like, almost like mob gangs more than, like, street gangs. Because, like, the difference in L.A., they don't have a centralized leader. Like, Tukey was never the leader of the Crips. You know what I mean? Like, but for us, it was, like, Hoover was the leader of the GDs. Jeff Ford was, like, even when they was in jail, locked up, or King Gino with the Kings, it was, like, you had leaders, you had prayers, you had meetings. Like, it was a real deep mob shit, and now, like, I don't even understand. It's like, niggas renegades, they got these own little crews and shit.
No doubt, man. Like, I don't know what happened to the leadership of Chicago, because it's deeper than Hoover. It's deeper than Fort.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They had people directly up under them that could have kept the ship afloat. I don't know what happened or why it happened, but the leadership just got dismantled, man. And now you just got total chaos now.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's riding with anybody they supposed to.
Yeah.
Nobody's following any creeds, any laws.
Yeah.
None of that. Ain't no regions no more. None of that stuff. They're not having session no more. Like, I don't know. It just went crazy, man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my whole family is GD. You know, like, with the exception of my mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to mom, dudes. Like,
your mom was
my mom was a stone.
Your mom was, like, the first, like, gangster mom. I remember, like, meeting your mom and, like, it
seemed,
like, tough as fuck. Like,
cause she is. I mean, she a nurse or whatever now, so, like, you know, you'll never see her flag. She still got flags on her back. Like, you know, not too many people seen those. She'll probably.
Where your mom grew up at?
Oh, man. My mom grew up, 75th and, in Tarrytown.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
75th and, ooh, I don't even remember the exact block.
Yeah.
But I know she grew up in Tarrytown.
Yeah.
Went to South Shore High School.
Okay.
You know, all of that. She actually went to O'Keefe too. Mm-hmm. While she was coming all the way over here for school, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's where her stone roots come from, man.
Damn. Okay. Now, before we get back into rap, and we can, you know, how much you want to get into it is, Because knowing Chris, I knew his family. I knew his sister, and I knew his two little brothers. And then, you know, it was like high school, we kind of, you know, all of our friends, we kind of went to different high schools, and I went to the military. But getting out, and I remember, like, my mom was like, Chris' little brother went to prison.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? And it was just weird because I remember being little kids and wrestling with them. And
yep.
Talking about, you know, Dragon Ball Z, because we was like 7, 8, I guess they was like 3rd, 4th grade. And it just, and then I knew kind of who the dude, he was, it's like this dude that be in the hood that you would know over here, like, yeah, albino type looking nigga. And I was just really surprised, like, if you could speak on it, like, about your brother's case and your brother's story.
Alright, well, for those who know me personally, you know, they know my little brother. I ain't gonna name drop or nothing like that, but, he locked up for murder. 60 years. Gotta do at least 50 of them.
Damn.
And they actually reduced that from 85. Damn. So, he looking at an appeal right now. You know, we're gonna see how that go. But, he grew up in this neighborhood too. And, you know, like my boy Keith touched on it. Like, he was a regular little kid. Played football with us. Watched the TV shows we watched. I actually feel kind of bad. And I never say this because my brother saw me do a lot of things. And it never dawned on me that he was paying that much attention. But the only difference between me and him is my brother got a knack for getting caught. And that's why he's in jail. But I never thought my brother would take it to the max with the street life like that. Like, I took to the streets because I wanted money. I mean, we wasn't like dirt poor like these rappers be talking about in their songs or whatever. Like, you know, we had food to eat and stuff like that, but there was a lot of nights we had sandwiches and chips for dinner, you know, with water. Like, so, like, that's not food. That's not a meal. So, you hear me? So, we were poor. So, you know, if I wanted Jordans, if I wanted ones, if I wanted a Pelico, I had to go get that shit myself. So, I knew I could go get it right on the 9 with my cousins, sit there on Marquette, do my thing. So, my brother was seeing all of this, but he took it a different way. He like, I don't want to just get money. I want to run the block. So him and a bunch of other little niggas, it's probably 14 at the time. They basically took Paxtown over. Like, just took the block from the older niggas. Like, this ain't y'all block no more. This our block. And when you that young and you got that much power, your name ring out in the streets like that, you just feel unstoppable. And because of that, then, you know, he got his family members backing him up too. My brother felt like couldn't nobody touch him. So he just kept going up and up and up. So he finally got caught. You know what I'm saying? The walls caved in on him.
But man, how he take it? Where he at? Stateville? Or?
Yeah, he in Stateville now.
Damn. I mean, plus he a young nigga too. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
22.
God damn.
22.
Shit. It's just crazy. I remember I was, after the show, y'all came to my show when I was riding with Eric. And we was talking, Eric was saying, he was thinking about how, like, you know, we was in 7th, 8th grade, like, and the foes came through of how, like, you know, niggas was recruiting, like, I just started thinking how niggas get swallowed up in the streets. And even our friend group, like, I remember, like, Rashid was running with the most.
Yeah.
And you gotta understand, like, we was at O'Keefe, we was in the gifted class 7th, 8th grade. Like, we was the smart kids in the school. Like, our whole class, you would have been like, okay, these are the kids that's gonna, like, make it. It's not like the other kids. And we all had our little trials and tribulations. And, you know, for me, I was going to Hyde Park and shit, and I was kind of, I ain't really know nobody, so I'm dealing with that. Rashid running with them, which is, like, insane. You know who Rashid is and shit. But you is interesting, because for the people that's listening don't know, Chris is a big-ass nigga. Chris is 6'9". How much you weigh?
Well, right now, about 390. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, 390.
Nigga.
I mean,
390.
I'm just a solid ass nigga. Like, that's why people, nobody believes me when I tell them that. Like,
nigga, that's like, that's like some giant type shit.
It is. Some behemoth type shit.
And he don't look it. He not like, it's like big and like fat, sloppy, where you like, you would have thought, okay, if he said 285, you'd be like, okay.
And that's what most people say.
God.
And I'm just like, nah, you need to add 100 to that, man.
Damn. Like, and when we was in, when I met him, he was like, talking about we 7, he was like 6'4" then.
Yep.
And it was interesting. I remember being like, Chris was like one of the first like friends I knew that was like a tough kid and shit. And he was so big and wasn't really afraid. And I started thinking as I got older, what was it like growing up? Like, what was it like being like, where it's like, did you ever have to fight like older niggas because you're so big, or the cops now looking at you as a threat because they really see you as a threat? I mean, different just being a black teenager, you already a target for cops, but you big as hell. Like, talking about that growing up, being bigger than everybody else and what that's like.
man, it was always a bunch of BS, man. Like, seriously, because when you that big, you that much bigger than everybody, if you get into it with somebody that, you know, from another neighborhood or something, they automatically think you like in high school, yeah, or you a grown ass man, but you 12.
Yeah.
And they just like, man, you ain't 12. So now they want to go get their older brother or older brothers.
Yeah.
They uncle. So yeah, I'm fighting grown men. I'm fighting seniors in high school, you know, stuff like that. So I was battle tested, and I can't even tell you how many one-on-one fights we had when we were younger, because it wasn't that many.
Yeah.
I almost always got jumped on.
Yeah.
Because people were scared that, you know, I might get them and fuck them up, which is funny to me, because when people would jump on me and get the best of me, because it happens, like, they would talk shit about it. And I'm just like, so nobody's going to touch on the fact that it was like four of them and it was one of me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But, you know, and it was kind of crazy growing up around y'all in particular, because, you know, y'all was my homies, y'all was my dogs. We hooped together, you know, talked about wrestling, talked about the Source magazine, yeah, shout out to the Source, and, you know, things like that. But it was kind of like I was living a double life when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because I could tell y'all wasn't into the street shit that I was into,
yeah,
which was cool, but y'all was my niggas though. So I was like, okay, when I go back over granny house, I'm going to be that 79th kid. When I'm on 67th Street and I'm with Keith, Rashid, Eric now,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to be this O'Keefe kid.
Yeah.
So I lived a double life, man, all the way up into high school.
Yeah.
And then that was when I was finally able to fully be myself.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, like you said, it was hard, man.
Yeah. Because I kind of peeped it. Look, there were like moments where I knew like I would be talking to you. Sometimes I'd just be like, me and you would just, like, I'd walk to your crib and shit. And you'd be talking about stuff, and I was like, damn. And this was like one time when, like, Ryan and Chris was fucking with me and shit, right?
Yeah.
So I grew up at first after my dad and mom divorced. My mom and dad, they off on the west side. And my dad grew up in Henry Horns. I forgot my mom. She grew up somewhere on the west side. But so I grew up around like Rogers Park and all that kind of stuff. But you know, my family was in Henry Horners. My mom's sister, my auntie Karen, she was in like, near west side, like Little Italy, close like to the Ville. And nice. My grandma was on like 95th. But I was never like a tough guy. I had a normal childhood. I was just seeing all this. And when I came over here, like, to the east, I remember just, like, hating over here. I was like, oh, I want to go here with these niggas and shit. But I got friends really quick, and I had never really been fucked with. And so all of a sudden, 8th grade happened, and that shit happened with Chris and Ryan. And me, I wasn't a tough kid, and I just didn't really know how to handle it. I came from, like, a kind of a small family, so I didn't really come from, I didn't have no brothers, so I didn't have that kind of family where it was like, well, if you get my older brother, you're going to fuck niggas up. And I ain't really know how to handle it. I still remember this. It's gonna laugh. Like, I remember the first time me and the homie Rashid used to walk around the neighborhood like a lot.
Yeah.
Like to the point niggas was like spreading rumors like, oh, nigga fags and shit. We was just talking and shit. And we roll up and we was just walking. I had my cousin basketball and it's Ryan and them. And one of these niggas, I forgot his name, was like, let me see that ball. So I already knew what niggas was on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. Nah. He like, I don't see that shit. I'm like, no. Nah. And so we keep walking and then one of the niggas was like, he tried to set me up for the okie doke. He was like, oh, they call you a goofy or something like that. And he wanted me to turn around so they could steal off me, but I didn't. And so nigga hit the back of my head. And I remember wanting to fight, but I'm looking, this is like this group of them. And I think Nina was with him too. And I'm with Rashid. And I'm like, I don't think this is gonna happen. So I'm just like, man, whatever. And then it was a couple of instances, but I remember like talking to you and how like you had gotten into it with Boo and shit. And I remember being like, damn, wish I was big like Chris. Like, cause I knew when I was walking with Chris, if it had to come to fight, Chris had my back.
I'm gonna fight.
Or nothing was never gonna happen.
Period.
But I remember in high school, I was talking on the phone, and he was telling me, like, yeah, boy, like, you know, niggas jump out of train, jumping and shit. And I was thinking, like, goddamn, Chris, like, what happened to you? Like, I was the nigga, cause I was high school, I ain't had no friends. So I was the nigga that would have been like, I'm running, and he was like, what, nigga, we got blast on these niggas. And I'm just like, you live in a whole different life than me, nigga. Like, oh, shit. And it's funny, cause you know, Chris, like, he ain't a mean dude, he a cool dude, he's smart, he ain't some nigga where you gonna be like, okay, like, so it's kinda surprising if you know him, you would be like, huh? But then if you know him, you kinda like, oh, I could actually kinda see all the shit.
No doubt.
God damn, you perform wrestling moves on niggas, putting the torture rack on niggas?
Oh man, I done did all type of little goofy kid shit, man. I done did all that, man. You know we was into that wrestling when we was young.
Yeah, yeah. Oh shit, speaking of wrestling, when did you get into it? Was it when, like, the Attitude Era came, or was you in it before?
Slightly before, because I'm 30, about to be 33 years old. My uncle was 40. Mm. So, even though you're my uncle, he kind of was like a big brother to me. So, he introduced me to wrestling, rap, all of that. All of that came from him. So I was kind of into like, you know, Andre the Giant and them, Ultimate Warrior,
yeah,
you know, things like that, but not too big on
yeah
it. So I would, if I would have to answer that truthfully, I would say the Attitude Era.
Okay. See, I got to, I just remember like being 3-4 years old. I had this like Ultimate Warrior pillow,
mm-hmm,
like Macho Man. I was in, I had like the coloring books with the, what was them niggas? They was like brothers. They used to be like, damn, it was, they almost had like a Three Stooges vibe, but it was like two niggas and they, oh my God, we got that tag team, God damn, it's gonna come to me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
podcast,
it
gonna
is
come to me. I'm kind of gonna look it up though. What's them niggas' names though? Tag team, WWE legend. But like Animal and Hawk, the Road Warriors,
uh-huh,
and shit. WCW, the Steiner Brothers and shit.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into it. Then the Attitude Era came, like when we found out about like the Montreal Screwjob. I remember us talking about that at school. Cause we was getting like the trade magazines and shit, and then this was kind of like early, early internet when like your grandma, auntie, it was like one person in your family always had internet, and you'd be like, "Y'all was reading on the internet?" Like that was because
yeah,
you know these niggas had no,
yeah, had it.
And I remember us just like reading the Triple H biography or the Mankind biography and shit, and talking about all that like every what Tuesday because you watch Monday Night Raw, and then Friday because you have because you watch SmackDown and shit.
Yep. Sunday
night,
Heat.
All
Nitro.
That shit, like, yeah, watch all that shit. That was a good-ass era. Were you a Stone Cold fan?
Biggest Stone Cold fan in the world, which is hilarious to me because, I mean, growing up a black kid in the hood, how many white heroes do you have? Like, let's be honest. Like, so it's, I'm like, man, like, love Stone Cold, man. Like, he was the truth. Didn't even know what beer was. Talk about pass me a damn beer. Like,
yeah.
Just cause I seen him do it on TV.
I hated Stone. You know, I don't know what it was about Stone, but I was like, that nigga, like, he say nigga. Like, I just couldn't feel him. Like, it took me a minute to feel him. I was more, Rock was like, what got me.
I liked him because he didn't give a fuck.
Mm.
Like, it was just like, man, I'm on whatever, I'm doing it to whoever, whenever I want. That's what gravitated me to Stone Cold.
Alright, were you big into the, were you more DX or, NWO?
Whoo, DX.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah
DX, man.
Everybody was doing that motherfucking shit. That, everybody doing that motherfucking shit.
Definitely DX, man.
I'm looking up. Okay, we got Bridge Bulldog, got Hartford. Damn, what was the niggas' names, man? They like, I can see them, the Rockets, I remember the Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
Damn.
Nation of Domination.
Oh, man, Farouk. Remember when he became, what was it,
Brashaw?
Him and became
8-8? Damn, remember these damn names, man. I know what I'm talking about. Shit.
Wrestling is a wild thing. You know what's funny is, like, when you're a fan of it, how much you're willing to buy. Like, when Triple H was Hunter Hearns Helmsley, that was, like, his character. And then it was, like, 2 years later, he Triple H. Like, you don't question it. You just
nope,
kind of, like,
you just roll
I'm rolling with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is like the craziest thing. Fucking Farouk big ass and shit. And like you said, with like white heroes, like wrestling played a big part of kind of like what I thought about like masculinity and shit. Like
yeah,
it's weird to watch these like big ass white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But you was rolling with some of these niggas. Like,
yeah.
God damn, man, these niggas ain't know what the fuck. I'm gonna watch, I swear to God, as soon as this podcast is over, I'm gonna think of these niggas' names. I'm gonna be like, fuck. The Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray, D-Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, that shit was so. When you start watching?
Ooh. You know what? It kind of just happened, and I really feel like it was sometime early high school. Like, it just kind of shut off, and I just became more rap and music and mm-hmm less wrestling.
Yeah.
And more women,
yeah,
or girls, if you
yeah
will. Like, I don't know. I want to say sophomore year.
It was, yeah,
like,
it was kind of
just cut off.
I think the last thing I remember being excited for was when, I think that was WrestleMania 20, when Rock and Hogan went at it.
Yeah.
That was, like, the last thing I paid attention to, and then, like, John Cena was kind of coming
yeah
up.
Yeah, that was
and,
about 04.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar was kind of coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just kept missing Raws and SmackDowns. And it was just like,
then you just didn't care.
Yeah, then I looked up and John Cena was the biggest thing
ever.
I was like, what the fuck? Like,
movie star and shit. Like, what? Like,
that nigga got. But you know the thing I always hated was, outside of like, you know, Farouk or D'Lo Brown or Booker T, there wasn't a lot of like black champion wrestlers. That was always
nope
the biggest thing about wrestling. I don't know what it is about wrestling. Like, outside of The Rock, but even The Rock, they never really touched on his blackness. It was always
no
like the Samoan shit.
The Samoan.
You know?
The Samoan
was,
drop.
Yeah,
the
yeah
Samoan
yeah
DDT.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
he never
yeah
was like the black name. it's almost how like Russell Wilson is black, but like it don't feel like people talk about his blackness the way they talk about old boy from the Ravens.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Because they don't.
Yeah. Like with what's his name? It's just like, well, Lamar Jackson is like, oh, you know he's black. And everything about, even if his code is about him being black, but Russell Wilson is like, oh, that's Russell Wilson to the point. I thought he was mixed. He's not mixed.
No.
He's a black nigga.
They talk about it more now because the best quarterbacks in the league are all of color now.
Yeah.
So they have no choice.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's coming down to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we taking over the sport of football.
Yeah.
We always had the best positional players.
Yeah.
You know, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, Lawrence mm-hmm. Taylor, Ray Lewis, people like that. But now we got the best quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, damn. Like, I mean, one of the best coaches in the NFL, Mike Tomlin, mm-hmm. black. Like, Tony Dungy not coaching no more, but Mike Tomlin is a great coach. Like, man, he does not get the credit he deserves. Like, even when he won the Super Bowl, like, cause I'm a big Steelers fan too, outside of the Bears. Like, that was Jeff Fisher's team. No, it was Mike Tomlin's team. Like, stop giving Jeff Fisher credit. He's been out of football for 5 years. Like, he's going to the Hall of Fame and y'all still talking about him. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. But it's interesting too, is like, I heard Bomani say this, like, if you think about it, outside of that, like, the last great, like, white quarterback class is really like that 04, 05 class, like that, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger. Like, since then, there hasn't really been a top white quarterback.
Just Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And he quit.
And he quit, yeah.
Cause he got banged up too much.
Yeah, and all the niggas, oh, Peyton retired. Yep. Aaron's still doing his thing. Tom Brady.
On his way out.
I don't know about this. Like, the Buccaneers, it's just like, what?
You know what? Want me to touch on that? I get you with this.
Yeah, touch on it.
Brady going to the Buccaneers is basically, number one, the Buccaneers are a horrible franchise. Other than that championship they won our freshman year of high school, they have nothing. Like, nothing before that and nothing since then. So he going to the worst franchise, not in football, in sports. So if he can say, I took this team from zero to hero, that's like the biggest thing in the world. Number two, they got weapons, man. They got Pro Bowl receivers. Yeah. They got a Pro Bowl tight end. They got money to go get a running back if they want to. Who don't want to play with Brady? Like, even at 42, 43. Like, he going there because he want to show the world, I got them 6 championships, not Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm cool with that. I mean, I don't think they're going to win no Super Bowl, but yeah. I think they're gonna do better than the Patriots. You can book that.
You think Bill Belichick trying to tank so he can get Trevor Lawrence?
Nah, I can't see Bill Belichick tanking. Even though he got the clout to do it.
Yeah.
Because he's done so much. Bill Belichick can have 10 losing seasons in a row and still be coaching the Patriots after a decade. Cause he got 6 championships, man. And I don't care how much cheating they did to get him. And I'm here to say they was definitely cheating. Because anytime you get caught taping the Cincinnati Bengals, who have not won anything since the 80s, why are you taping the Bengals? If you're taping the Bengals, you're taping everybody. If you're taping bad teams, you're taping good teams.
Yeah.
So, like, come on. But, yeah. Bill, nah, he ain't going to tank to get Trevor Lawrence.
Real quick, not to cut you off. I found them. The Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers?
Yeah, like, I couldn't remember. Like, I'm typing up because I remember they had, like, these fatigue fans, and I just typed in tag team wrestlers.
Okay, okay, fans. Okay.
But yeah, keep it telling you, my bad.
But, man, who would I say would tank to get? I would say Jacksonville would tank to get Trevor Lawrence.
Mm, really?
Yeah, because they're getting rid of everybody on their team.
Yeah.
Like, they got rid of Calais Campbell, one of their best pass rushers. They didn't use the franchise tag on any of their good players. They let them all walk in free agency. Thank the football guys, they gave us Nick Foles.
Mm.
Like, they have no one.
Yeah.
So they tanking. They're definitely tanking.
Foles gonna get it, gonna do it for us?
I do.
Time to sit Trubisky down.
Yes. Cause look, it's gonna work either one or two ways.
Yeah.
Either Nick Foles is gonna be the Nick Foles I know he can be, and I'm not saying Nick Foles is Peyton Manning or Joe Montana or nothing. Yeah. But he is more than serviceable, which is what we need at quarterback. You know, cause our defense is gonna put us in position to win games anyway.
Yeah.
So either he's gonna be Nick Foles, he's gonna take over, or he's gonna push Mitchell Trubisky to be better, and then he'll take us there. Either way we win, I don't care which way it is.
I feel bad for Trubisky because it's like, He didn't ask for this. Like, he didn't tell him to take me high. He didn't say don't fucking the draft Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Like, he's okay. Just trying to do the best he can do.
I'm gonna touch on that.
Yeah.
You are absolutely correct. And I do feel bad for him a little bit because of that. What made me lose respect for Mitchell Trubisky is when he was talking about, oh, they need to turn the TVs off in Hallis Hall because I'm tired of seeing the media talk about me. What? Dude, like, you can't be that thin-skinned. Like, that's a football player.
Yeah.
Like, you are supposed to be, like, macho as hell or however you want to put it.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, like, first of all, nobody wanted Deshaun Watson. That's why he slipped that far in the draft.
I don't understand it.
And I don't understand it either. Yes.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, because he was black.
Yeah.
Like, and the teams that were drafting in those positions, let's just keep it real, they're not Atlanta, you know, when Atlanta took Vic.
Yeah.
They're not those type of, they don't have that type of thinking.
Yeah.
So they're like, nah, we're not taking this guy. And he was undersized. They didn't like that either. He wasn't your prototypical 6'5", 230 quarterback.
Yeah.
But on Mahomes, nobody knew who Patrick Mahomes was, except for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And that's why he traded up to get him. Mm. He went to Texas Tech. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they had a losing record. They were like 5-6. Nobody knew who this dude was or the talent he had. So that was luck or scouting, whatever you want to put it towards. But Deshaun Watson got a raw deal. And because Mitchell Trubisky was drafted ahead of them, he will always be looked at the way he is looked at now.
He like Sam Bowie in the 84 draft.
There you go. that's perfect.
Yeah. But you think about it, it's like, okay, Houston got the first pick. This is still the big man era. So it's like, why not we go pick the hometown kid that's just playing for the college, Hakeem, Houston, Fox, Slim, and Jim. Then the Blazers, they already just got Clyde. Like, if you get Mike, I guess maybe you can put Clyde at the
small forward or something.
But people remember, even up to 92, people was comparing Clyde and Mike. Like, it was still kind of like, after 92, it was kind of like, oh, so Clyde knew on Mike level. So you got to understand why Mike slipped, but it's still just kind of like Sam Bowie. Like, it ain't even his fault. But it's
this
like,
is my thing with that. Nobody complains about Houston taking Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, no, they have.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And Hakeem Olajuwon, and I'll be the first person to say it, I don't care if I'm biased to Chicago or whatever. If Mike did not retire from basketball, Hakeem Olajuwon wouldn't have won no championships either.
Here's the, okay, so now you touched it on. So I've thought about this a lot. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's do a scenario.
Okay.
Mike don't retire. So it's the 93-94 season.
Yes, sir.
So we know they beating the Knicks, Pacers, whoever the fuck they beat.
Yeah.
They're going to finals. Houston Rockets. Here's what I'm saying. The Bulls never had a dominant big man. So there's nobody stopping Hakeem and there's nobody stopping Jordan. But if you look at how the Rockets played, they had them shooters though, Mario Ellie, Sam Cassell, Kenny the Jets, Vernon Maxwell. Like, I think if
they were shooting threes in an era where you didn't shoot threes.
Yeah, I think if they played 94-95, I think the Houston Rockets can pull off one. I think they can pull off one.
I give you that, but like I said, with my bias, they ain't winning shit. But going back, nobody complained about Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
But I seen an old interview, and this was interesting. It was Bob Knight.
Yeah.
Bob Knight actually told the directors from Portland, y'all need to draft this Jordan kid. Because, like, everybody was high on Hakeem going number one.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was a big man era.
Yeah.
He like, y'all need to draft this Jordan kid. So the dudes from Portland told him, nah, we taking Bowie. We need a center. He's like, well, play Jordan as center. like, that's how big Bob Knight was on Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So everybody told him. The writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, and going back and watching old Jordan games from North Carolina, I always say the only person in the history of basketball that can stop Michael Jordan is Dean Smith.
He was balling, but I think it was
he
still
put the
like,
shackles on him.
I think you still couldn't imagine that he would become Michael Jordan. Like, you think, at best you're thinking, oh, he's going to be a, like a top shooting guard in history, not like
the greatest player ever. Nah, like, nobody's really, saying that coming.
You just couldn't really see that coming. Shit.
But that's a combination of ability and desire.
Yeah.
And like some people make it to the NBA or overseas or whatever off pure desire.
Yeah.
Like, but if you got the ability to go with it, man, you're unstoppable.
Yeah. What's... Now you was hooping in high school, right? At Gwendolyn Brooks.
I was.
You played all 4 years?
No. Played two.
Okay. Junior and senior?
Yep.
Okay. So did you, were you ever thinking about like trying to take it to D1 or D2 and shit?
I did.
Hmm.
I actually, I hurt my knee twice. Hurt my knee my junior year. Missed most of the season. Hurt my knee again my freshman year of college. And then that's basically when I gave basketball up.
Damn.
Because I was actually en route to go to Michigan State. But because I got hurt.
With Izzo?
With Izzo sat on 6704 South Merrill in my living room.
Get the fuck out of here.
And recruited
Izzo.
Me.
What
Tom
the fuck?
Izzo. I was going to go to Michigan State when they still had Paul Davis, Shannon Brown. I was going to be a freshman.
What?
Yes. I was going to be on that team.
Yeah.
But because my body betrayed me,
yeah.
I never got the chance. So I started out hooping at Chicago State. And then I kind of just lost the desire to hoop, like, because I was always good at basketball, but I kind of just did it as a hobby. Like, I didn't really want it.
Yeah.
I didn't really see it as a way out the hood or nothing like
yeah.
that. Like, it was never that for me.
Yeah.
I played because I loved to play, not because
yeah.
I had to.
Yeah.
So, once I lost the desire, once I got hurt again, I didn't feel like going through rehab and all that again. I was just like, fuck it.
Damn. Wow. But why you never play? Because you played football as a kid. I remember you used to play with like the Wolfpack, right?
Yeah. The crazy thing about football, I was naturally good at football.
Yeah.
And thinking back on it today, dog, I definitely should have played football.
Damn.
I played my freshman year of high school and was a beast. I was playing defensive end. Mind you, as a freshman, I was like 6'4", 6'5", probably like 250. So I was the size of a prototypical defensive end back then. As a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So I was just tearing offensive linemen up. But then I got into hooping. And it was like, because I was tall.
Yeah.
And I like challenges.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to show everybody that I can play this sport. I was ranked about 20th in the state by the time I was a junior. So I felt like, you know, I showed everybody, but I still didn't do shit with it.
Yeah.
So I should have played football.
Damn.
I could have got a scholarship anywhere in the country if I would have played football.
Yeah. Cause
it was just that naturally easy.
Damn, you think you were the defensive end or?
I don't know. I'm gonna put you like this. If I would have stayed in superior shape.
Yeah.
Probably a DE. If I would have got a little chubbier, left tackle.
Okay.
Either way, I would have been on the line.
Yeah. I noticed you don't see a lot of like black offensive line. That seems like a predominantly white. Cause I don't know why that is, but then the defensive line, kind of mixed, but predominantly black, though. I've always noticed that.
This is my thing. Dealing with seeing black men, seeing white boys in the South, and this, that, and the other. A lot of these offensive linemen, they come from these Southern schools, or Big Ten schools sometimes. These be some country-ass, big-ass, farm-bred white boys. They be seniors in high school and 6'5 and 340, like, they ain't making them like that where we come from, man. We just not that big.
Yeah.
So that's why you barely see black offensive linemen. But what transitions when football got smaller, if you will, the game got quicker. So they wanted more athletic big men.
Mm.
That's where the Michael Orr's and stuff like that came into play.
Yeah.
Or one of the greatest offensive linemen ever to me, Jonathan Ogden. Mm. He's black. First ballot Hall of Fame, Orlando Pace. He was black. But that was a rare thing, though.
Yeah.
But these dudes, they were 350, but they could move.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Orlando Pace had a 40-inch vertical. And he was 350. Like, exactly. He ran a sub-540. Like, you don't hear about stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so when the game got more athletic, the running backs and stuff got more athletic, they had to put all these crazy game plans into play. You gotta have offensive linemen that can move.
Yeah.
And that's why you see more black ones now.
Okay.
Not to cut you off, but the money got better for offensive linemen too.
Yeah.
Cause you know, growing up in the hood, we want to catch the ball. We want to score the touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
When they start seeing offensive linemen go number one in the draft, 70 million guaranteed through the door, it became cool to be an offensive lineman.
It's invaluable, like, to protect your quarterback.
There you go.
You got a great line, like, you are good. Like, Tom Brady, most of his career, had a great offensive line. Like, sometimes that nigga be back in the pocket, like, a whole minute. Like, I got all time.
Taking pictures.
You know what I'm saying? And when you don't get, when niggas running for their life, like.
There you go.
Jay Cutler. What was that game? He got sacked like seven. What was that game?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They killed him.
What was your feeling on Cutler in Chicago? Because I remember that, what was that, the NFC Championship game against the Packers when he got
2010.
Hurt. And, like, the, it's just something about his face. Like,
he
it
threw
just,
a pick.
Like,
he went for the tackle, which he shouldn't have did, and hurt his hand.
Yeah.
You idiot.
And it's just like his face. It was just, even on the sideline, he just had this kind of like, well, it's over. Like, there was no sense of like Urlacher, like, I'm trying to get the team up, like, I'm rowdy, like, we gonna get it. It was just kind of like, fuck this shit.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the reason why I can't pinpoint it on his facial expressions is because my favorite basketball player ever is Tim Duncan. He was always, he never had a facial expression.
Yeah.
Eli Manning. Yeah. Never had a facial expression. He got two Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
But his body language was horrible.
Yeah.
You could tell Jay Cutler wasn't a leader.
Yeah.
You could tell he didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
And then after Chicago paid him all that money, his production went down.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Jay Cutler, I mean, I might be going a little nuts with this. I thought Jay Cutler was going to be the next Brett Favre.
Because he had
an electric arm.
Yeah.
And he could move.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even touch on the fact that Jay Cutler could run.
Yeah. Because
he was a white boy.
Yeah.
But that boy could move. And like, I mean, he threw for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns when we picked him up. That's why we picked him up. But as soon as he got that money, he didn't give a damn no more.
Damn. Fuck, man. I don't understand about the Bears. Like, in my whole, like, watching, it just feels like we still stuck in, like, the 85 mindset of, like, defense, defense, defense.
Defense and a running game.
We haven't had a great quarterback, and I'm seeing all these other teams, and it's like, do we not see what's happening in football? Like, it's just like, we got that defense and that running game. Like,
Jim McMahon wasn't even a great quarterback.
Yeah.
He was just really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's probably the best we ever had.
Yeah.
If you want me to be honest, as far as production.
Yeah.
As far as talent, Jay Cutler is the best quarterback we ever had, and we didn't get shit out of him.
Yeah. Damn, man. Well, let's hope Nick Foles, man. See what Nick Foles do with us, man.
I hope so.
It's been a minute since we talked about him, but let me see if you remember this one.
Take
all right. Back. Hold on. Yo, Green! Let's launch this motherfucker!
Invasion!
Al-Qaeda Jada!
I don't know about the slug game. Hey,
that's when the love came.
Yes. This is the cornerstone of the corner store.
My God. I remember there was like a period where it was just like he was murdering every, like every freestyle, every mixtape. Like, was you big into like the Kiss phenomenon?
Yes, I was.
Oh,
and I'm going to tell you when it first happened. So I went to go. And I was a little late to the party, I'm not going to lie, but I went to go stay with my pops in Virginia, Suffolk, Virginia, my junior year of high school for a short while. My stepbrother is from Philly, so he put me onto two rappers, Jadakiss and Cassidy.
Mm.
And when I came back to Chicago, I was the biggest Jadakiss and Cassidy fan. And once I hear one song that catch my ear, I got to research these niggas.
Yeah.
Start downloading everything they ever made. Keeping in touch with the stuff they gon' make. But Jada was that guy, man.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I just got to listen to Kiss the Game Goodbye yesterday.
Mm.
Like, that's one of my favorite albums.
Yeah. You know what? How you feel about Kiss album? Because I've always felt Kiss probably, he doesn't have a classic album.
Mm, he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not, the structure of the album as a whole, it's not great enough to call it a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my honest opinion. But he has a lot of good albums.
Yeah.
And that's good enough to keep, you know, real hip-hop listeners listening.
Yeah.
They're going to ride with him.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing with Jadakiss, I just wish more people really knew who he was. And what I mean by that, I feel like he didn't get marketed correctly or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he never reached from New York to L.A.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he should have.
Yeah.
Because Jadakiss got skills, man.
And he influenced so much of, like, him and Fabulous both influenced, like, a generation in New York. Like, you hear, like, you watch that URL battle shit.
Yeah.
Like, most of how they spit, I'm like, oh, this is all Kiss. This is, like, all kind of, you could tell it was all listening to Kiss and shit. But you're right. I feel like it was just kind of like, he was marketed as, like, yo, he a spitter.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But he never had, like Fabulous. It was kind of like, okay, he gonna come with the lady joint.
Uh-huh.
Even Beanie Siegel was like, yo, the bully, you know, Broad Street Bully. Cause I was a big Beanie fan more than Kiss. Like Kiss, the Locks came out, I was like, yeah, they cool. I didn't get on Kiss till was Kiss the Game about the first album?
First album.
Like when, Knock Yourself Out came. And then I remember, cause you know, we ain't from New York, so I'm pretty sure New York niggas heard shit earlier. But I remember the video, first time watching Knock Yourself Out. And then they had the, we gonna make it.
We gonna make it.
nigga. And like, everybody was like, nigga, you heard that other shit?
Yeah.
Like, when that don't make, I was like, oh my God. Like, that's what I was like, yo, this nigga is ill.
Yes, yes.
And doing that little battle with him and Beans, I was still more Beans. Like, to me, Beans just, the lyrics just hit so, he's like a bully. Like, it just seemed like everything's like a punch to the gut. You know what?
I'm glad you brought up Beans because, like I said, my stepbrother Sean, shout out to Sean, like, he was a big Beanie Sigel fan too. And because of the battles that Beans and Jada had, I got to hear mainstream side of Jada and raw in the streets Jada.
Yeah.
Like, just giving it to niggas. Yeah. So, and that's why I became a bigger and better fan of.
Yeah.
But like, I love Beans too. I mean, I felt like when Beans left, Rockefeller just crumbled. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, when he went away, yeah. Cause he was like, it was like, okay, Jada, the big top dog, but Beans was like just as ill as him.
Yes.
Selling records. He brought State Property in. You know, Memphis had an interesting career. It always felt like Memphis could rap. Like, he not whack. It just felt like he could never get out of Jay's shadow. And then Jay never really got on a lot of songs. It's kind of interesting how Memphis' career, I think, should have went, though. Like, I always felt he could have been a platinum rapper. Like,
Beans, I feel the same way about Memphis, too. But Beans is like that guy who do all the day-to-day, the dirty work, the paperwork. You always see his face. And then he report back to Jay-Z, like, is this good? Jay-Z like, yeah. Or no. Like, that's how the structure in Rockefeller was. It was like Jay was getting all the promotion, but Beans was putting bars out in the street.
Yeah.
But that's why, you know what I'm saying, people fucked with him that hard, man.
You know what's crazy? I heard Black Thought say that, like, him and Beans Sigel was in a rap group when he was in kindergarten. Like, can you just imagine 6-5-year-old Black Thought's Beans? Like, that's a nasty F5, it just sounds like an ill combination. Like,
it does.
And Black Thought in a group, in a rap group together, like, cause that's Black Thought is another one that, like, for years didn't get his due.
No.
Like, he just now, niggas, like, with that freestyle, that flex. But there was, like, Black Thought was the rapper you would always listen to and be like, this nigga ill. But, like, he just never, people never put him in that conversation, like, yo, Jay Nas, or when we start putting Andre 3000 there.
Yep.
I'm glad he just now getting his due with niggas. Cause to me, I think pound for pound, we just talking rap. I think the best rappers of all time is either Black Thought or Biggie. If we just talking bars, lyrics, time and flow, that's my top two if we just talking rap.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. What about you? Who in your, like, if you had to come up with a top five?
Top five, just like, just any top five? Just any top five. I probably can't even give it to you in a particular order, but I can definitely give you five artists. Jay and Nas definitely in my top five.
Okay.
Like, Eminem.
Mm.
Love Eminem. You know how big he was on Eminem growing up. This next one gonna be hard.
We used to print out his lyrics and shit. A&E lyrics and shit. We used to read that shit. Like,
oh, man. So, Jay, Nas, Eminem, Common.
Another one, Common
is definitely in my top five, man. And last but not least, I gotta give you something. I don't just want to throw anybody out there though. What about a group?
Oh, you put a group in there, yeah.
Outkast.
Outkast. That's the thing, like, for me, like, I get it when Andre was killing all these features and everybody, like, Andre, way better. But, like, I can't separate them in my brain. Like, it's hard for me to just, like, look at Andre as, like, yo, he way better than, I still don't see it. Like, I get it. Like, Andre has the ability to make the simple complex, right? Cause Andre was talking about some, like, hood shit. Like, Andre is savage. Like, you really the type of shit he be talking about.
Andre a dog.
But, like, niggas sleep on Big Boy. Like, niggas really, cause I think people think Big Boy, like, oh, he just like the pimp type shit, the cars and shit. And it's like, nah, you ain't really listening to that nigga. You ain't really listening to Outkast.
I feel like Big Boy finally got his due. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as people really realizing how cold he was.
Yeah.
When they did, the double album, The Speaker Box and The Love Below.
Yeah. That, Speaker Box is better than
Love Below. Nasty.
Like, the thing about Andre is like, he experimental, but to the point where it's like, hey, my nigga, can you just, like, rap for us? Like, because, like, he had some joints on there, Andre getting off, but that speaker box, like, Big Boy, people was like, yeah, we see who can, if you ask for a solo album, we see what we getting from those two.
Because, see, like, when people, like, hit me with the top five, I ain't gonna lie, it changed a lot, but I put thought into the list I just gave you because I gotta go with how old I am.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't wanna go too 80s or too early 90s, even though, what was Illmatic, 94?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Reasonable Doubt, 96. Yeah. You know, that's kinda in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but people always Tupac, Biggie, but I mean, I love Biggie. I mean, Rated, that was one of the first albums I ever heard. I had that on tape.
You hear me? That on a cassette.
I had that on a cassette.
Ready to Die, you was in the... Oh,
yes.
Man.
That was a gift from my uncle.
Damn.
So, hoes, he bought me a Walkman and had that on cassette.
Yeah.
So, but I never put Biggie in my top five because I just didn't hear enough of him.
Yeah.
Like, his body of work is not as big as these other
people.
Chris
Rock made it perfect. He the Bo Jackson of rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like he came and went. It's like he came, he conquered, he left.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Yeah. Whereas Pac, he had like 6 hours by the time he died. He kept did. On with another 10 hours.
Right, but it was like with Pac was so, I didn't really understand Pac until I got older. Because Pac was so raw and revolutionary with it. It was like, you gotta be a little older, a little wiser to really dig into what he was trying to say to you. Which, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Do your research later on, you good with that. But, yeah, Ready to Die was the first full album I ever heard.
Damn, that's crazy. Like, you know, it's like, you can say Pac and Big, you can make the case that they're the two greatest rappers of all time.
You can.
Just with rap, songwriting ability, all that kind of stuff. But it's, for me, it's just like rap has evolved. There's so much rap since they died. And there are rappers from that era that have came, like Common. Common was in 92.
Yes.
Still spitting heat. And so it's kind of hard for me to just like not put them up there. Like I'm a big, big Common fan. And like it's weird, like Common, when would you say Common really like Chicago? Because I felt like it was when The Light came out. Because the first couple albums, I don't think niggas felt him because like, he wasn't Chicago, like, well, we thought Chicago sounded, because niggas gangbanging, so niggas like, you know, alright, he with this jazz shit, like, we was more Crucial Conflict, Do or Die, Psychodrama, when Twist came out, Adrenaline Rush.
Hot.
Yeah, and it was like, when The Light came out with that J Dilla joint, that was when kind of people was like, that shit took him out of there, and then you looked up with Kanye, and that B album is a certified
I'm classic. So glad you said that. Woo! B? That's in my top three albums of all time.
Really?
No lie. No, beginning to end. Dude, the intro with the guitar, so cold, man. And I know you're talking about the J Dilla joint, but dog, the corners, when people heard the corners, Common went from Earth to the Moon.
Yeah.
Like, that quick.
Yeah.
Like,
because you forget, because after The Light, he came out with that Electric Circus.
Yes.
And people was kind of like, I don't know about that. But I remember on a College Dropout, he was on that joint, and that Get Him High. And I remember I bought the College Dropout and Common said, they say hip-hop is dead. I'm here to resurrect
it. Yes.
I was like, oh, shit. And then that B-Album came out, I was like, this nigga ain't here for play. Like, no, niggas
not
was
at
like,
all.
Been in the game. By that point, he had been in the game 13 years. Shit, man, like, I'm that. But you know, like, some cats who, like, I kind of, because I love Eminem, but Eminem over the years, I kind of...
He fell off.
Yeah, this last album.
I'll be honest, he fell off, but the last album was hot.
But I'm a big Pusha T fan. I'm sorry, like, I know that nigga got one subject matter, but the nigga find new ways to talk about cocaine, like, and I just remember when Grindin' hit, like,
oh man,
that shit was so hard. They was talking that drug shit heavy.
It was.
That motherfucker said never been about, he said I was been about family, never been about fame. Some nights I wasn't able, there was always cane. Like, they was dropping these little shit cause I pump bass like that, Jack. Like,
straight out of Norfolk.
Oh
man,
and then you know who I'm into, the Griselda niggas. And that nigga Benny, if his next album is like Tanner Talk 3, we gotta have a different conversation.
I hear you on that. I'm gonna hold you to that too.
How you like about the Griselda
niggas? You know what? They hot.
Yeah.
Like, as far as what I've heard.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those, you know what I'm saying? It's one of them joints where it first hit your ear, you just know it's raw.
Yeah.
So you try to spread the word on it. But I'm not even gonna sit on this mic and lie, act like I done dug into it completely, cause I haven't.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, they definitely coming.
Oh shit, hold up, let me play this shit. Like, when I just heard this, Cause like they're a group that like I heard about Westside first.
Okay.
And I was seeing like the merch and shit. And I was kinda, he reminded me of one of those rappers that like with dope beats, but I was kinda like, I don't like his voice. So I was like, all right, he cool. He like rock Marciano. And then I start hearing Conway and Benny, and then you just kinda go back and dig in the crates with them. What is this shit? Let's see, Conway. This shit right here, nigga. I heard this shit, and it just like, this is crazy. And it's like some jazz nigga sampling and shit. And when you got like loud speakers and shit.
Yeah.
Mm.
You see, people don't want to talk about it, dog, but the first thing that hits your ear is production.
Yeah.
It's not the lyrics.
It's not the lyrics. And then, like, them niggas, like, something I like with rappers is, like, I talk about this authenticity.
Okay.
Right? And it's not so much, like, because you don't know what niggas is doing, what they're doing. But it's certain people, the way they carry themselves, like Beans, like Jada Styles. Like, when you see Conway and his face, like, fucked up and being shot, you just, like, I think that nigga real. Like, I don't think he's straight out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Real talk.
Yeah. And it's like, you said, production play a big part. Like, everybody be like, yo, it's about bars, bars, lyrics. And it's like, actually, no, it's kind of beats and flow. Like, a rapper's flow. Like, Talib is ill, but his flow, he doesn't have a good flow.
No.
Like, Mos Def got the flow, so you be like, yo, Mos Def illa. But it's like you said, like, in production, I was saying this, we gotta have a real conversation about who the top producers is. Cause I think for the longest, it was like, yo, it's Dre, it's Premier, it's Rock, it's RZA, Kanye, but I'm like, we gotta have a No ID conversation.
Yes.
We gotta have an Alchemist conversation.
Oh, Alchemist so nasty.
Like, we gotta have a Manny Fresh conversation.
Don't even be started on Manny, cause you know, that's our time.
Man. DJ Paul Juicy J conversation.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, I said it's on here three, I had a whole episode dedicated, I said 3-6 Mafia, to me, is the most influential group in Southern rap history and one of the most in hip hop history. When you see what's been going on in the South the last 10, 15 years, 3-6 is doing
all them.
The drug talk,
yep.
The crunk shit, like, 3-6 was talking about popping pills, and that was the one thing I remember being like, what the fuck are these niggas doing coke? I think, what was that? DJ Paul had a line, said, Zoe got this chicken go be in her ass, and we said, it's like two in the ass, two in the mouth, he on coke. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and Gangsta Boo, Gangsta Boo was like the first chick I heard like be nasty and tough. She was the first chick talking about like, yo, nigga, you better like eat my ass and shit first. I was like, niggas eat ass? Like, I was like, shit, like, this is what people do when they having sex. Like, people sleep on Gangsta Boo,
yeah,
man. Like,
she was hard, man. She you was know, like,
LeChat too.
She had to fit in the group. Yeah. See, I'm gonna hear LeChat first. See, LeChat was like one of the guys.
Yeah.
Like, she was just so rough and raw with it. She had the bars or whatever, so she fit right in with what they was doing. But Gangsta Boo, she had to find the perfect mix, the perfect storm between being sexy, but being gangster with it too.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when Lil Kim used to rap, you would hear her hit you with the lines, she'd be sexy with it.
Yeah.
But Gangsta Boo like, nah, nigga, get your ass over here. Eat my pussy and eat my ass.
Yeah.
Go sell my drugs and bring that shit back. Like, you know, that type of shit.
Against Kim, Fox, Eve. Like,
I would too.
Like, people really, it'd be certain people, like, niggas sleep on and shit, but, yeah, back in that production shit, like, niggas, like, how much important that plays in the hip hop. And it's kind of why I've been thinking about, like, how we gonna rank Metro Boomin and them.
Mm.
And it's weird because they got some beats that knock, but I can't tell, like, if you just played a bunch of instrumentals for me, I don't know if I'd be able to tell which Metro Boomin outside of the, you know, if Metro don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot you. Like, I can't, like, distinguish the songs. Like, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, this that Migos song, that's this, where it's like, I can listen to the Neptunes and be like, oh, this the Busta joint.
Indeed.
This joint, this that joint. So it's kind of weird with some of, like, Zaytoven and them, where it's like, we got to put them in the conversation. I mean, like, they got some joints that's knocking, they kind of define rap, but I'm kind of like, it almost sound like, it's like beats coming off the factory, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like beat after beat after beat, and like, I can't distinguish all of this shit, like, if I just heard instrumentals.
I mean, that's going back to what you said about authenticity.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta put your stamp on shit, man. Yeah. You gotta let people know, like, this is me. Like you just said, when you hear certain beats, you know who made it.
Yeah.
But God, it'd be the same guys out here doing the same beats off the same samples, like every time. Yeah. Like you said, it's like a damn factory,
yeah,
an assembly line.
Yeah.
So you just can't tell no
same
more.
808 drums.
Yeah, like, yeah, damn, be creative.
Hell yeah.
Like,
So, are you, what else you been listening to? You been listening to, like, lately?
Lately, I've been reaching back, man. Mm. Like, you know what? I have been listening to Royce da 5'9" hard as hell for about
my nigga, like
maybe a year now. Like,
we gotta have a conversation. Like, we gotta have a real conversation about Royce. Like,
we gonna do that.
Like, you can put him in the top. Like, this nigga Royce the last, like, 10 years, what he did with that Prime album. Like, what he been doing solo, this Allegory shit, like.
Whew. Hey, that's.
What did that line he say? He say Bill Maher loses the term nigga so loosely, because truthfully he be using it on the DL. Louis C.K. could use it in front of Pookie, but no damn well he wouldn't use it in front of DL. Like,
yes.
I said, God, right, damn.
Man.
That nigga Royce is on another
level. That's for real hip-hop, yeah, hip-hop fans right, yeah, there, though. That ain't for your casual listeners.
And it's like, it's crazy. It's the older niggas that's coming, like, Jay on his Jay Electronica album. Like, it's the niggas from the 90s that's, like, in their 40s is bodying these young niggas and shit, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because for all you people out there that don't know, Royce da 5'9" was on Eminem, the Slim Shady LP.
Bad meets evil. Like,
just to let y'all know. So, yeah, he has been out for that long. And longer.
You ever heard the story of how he met Eminem?
No.
He had a song about it. This is so crazy. The same day he met Eminem was the same day his grandma died and his son was born. His grandma died and his son was born in the same hospital. Like, his grandma's on top floor. She was dying. His girl's wife now was giving birth. And then that night he had a performance. And, like, M was, like, selling his CDs in front of the shit, and that's how he met Eminem. So, one day, he lost his granny, gave birth to a son, and met the nigga that would change his life. Like,
oh, that's crazy.
That's, like, the craziest.
You can't even make that shit up.
Hell yeah.
Like, and that was fake.
Me and Royce was ill, but you just didn't see him on, like, a level like a God MC. It was just like, nah. Royce dope. You know what I'm saying? But as these last 10 years, like, that he sobered up and shit, like, and that cocaine song he had talking about his dad, like.
Yes.
God
damn. That was heat.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. Like, and like, when I want to put people on an artist, I always take that one song, like, dude, listen to this.
Yeah.
Or girl, listen to this.
Yeah.
And that's the one I use for him.
Hell yeah. Damn. Are you into the, I guess the big three of the last decade, Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole?
I hate to say it, I am not the biggest Kendrick Lamar fan.
Oh, talk about it.
And it's not that I don't like him, he just never caught my attention.
Like, really? Not even Good Kid, M.A.A. City?
No.
Really?
Like, I know Kendrick's hits.
Yeah.
Like, I am honestly gonna say I am the casual fan when it comes to Kendrick Lamar.
Mm.
I am not dug in on him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he not cold, because he is.
Yeah.
He just didn't hit me, man.
Yeah.
Drake is okay.
Yeah.
Like, went to a couple of, seen him live.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
You know, so, but J. Cole?
Yeah.
Big J. Cole fan.
Mm,
Huge J. Cole fan.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Neighbors?
Yeah, Rashida.
Like, that's my shit.
Rashida, huge J. Cole fan. Because, like, I got on Kendrick, I remember hearing, like, Section 80, because I was hearing the internet buzzing. And I didn't like his voice. I was like, I don't like this nigga like voice. But it was a couple of songs I liked. So when Good Kid came out, I was like, let me check it out.
Alright.
And that shit stayed in rotation for me for like a year and a half. I was like, this is the first classic of our generation. And he like your age. Like, because he's born 87, Chris born, I'm born 88. So it was like, yo, he like my age and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Drake, I heard in the military, I heard that So Far Gone. And I didn't know how to take him. And I was like, I like it, but this is different. And then I saw his face. And
there was
like,
so much singing. And I was like, who's this white skinned nigga? Like, the fuck?
If you had told me that nigga was going to dominate music for 10 years.
Never believe you. Never would believe you.
I don't even believe you. And then Cole, Rashid put me on because he got me on the, what was it, the warm up and the blow up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we was big on, but sometimes I've been disappointed with these Cole albums. Like, he needs to stop producing himself.
I'll give you that.
I wish he would just call No ID and be like, look, man, just give me 13 tracks and let me spit.
There's so many guys out like him out there with so much talent, but they want to do everything they sell. Yeah. Like, just to say, like, I did this completely. This was all me. Nah, man, some of the greatest people need help.
Yeah.
Like, let your talent bloom. Let the people listen to it. But let the other people help you in the background to perfect it, man. Don't hold yourself back because you're proud.
Yeah. Like, I struggle. My homie said, he said like this, he said, Drake make the best songs, Kendrick make the best albums, Cole's the best rapper.
Mm.
And I don't know, because like, I kind of like, I don't know who I like between Cole and Kendrick, because Kendrick, there's something exciting about the flow.
Yeah.
Like, it's that stream of conscious, like when you hear him on Control or on that Pusha T, it's something that gets you excited that Cole don't have. But Cole just got, like, the bars. Like, it's something about Cole. He's like, whoo!
He got the bars and he got a flow, man.
Yeah, he do.
He flows so smooth. Yeah. And that's what gravitates you to him, man. So, I could kind of agree with that. Yeah. I could kind of agree with that.
Were you big into, like, Big Sean or Wale or Nicki Minaj and all that shit?
Wale was okay. Big Sean, definitely. Nicki Minaj, man, you know, we're from an era where we had great female rappers.
Yeah.
So, Nicki Minaj never really hit it for me, man. Like,
I feel like she a one verse wonder. That verse on Monster is what keeps her, like, because it was so classic. Like, flow.
Yeah.
I ain't never heard.
And she keep living off of that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the perfect way to put it, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not feeling it. Like, I stopped listening to Nicki Minaj whenever Lil Kim dropped Black Friday.
Yeah.
And she crushed Nicki.
Yeah.
With her old ass. I was through with Nicki Minaj. Yeah. I'm like, see, you ain't got it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why, cause black female rappers, I don't care if you rap, I don't care if you sing, they stick together.
Yeah.
Cause they know how hard it is to make it.
Yeah.
None of them have never endorsed Nicki Minaj.
Dog.
When have y'all seen that?
I've been saying that says something that none of the OG black female rappers
that's weird.
Have never, like, they give, like, political answers, like, yeah, you know, she's doing her thing, but none of them. And then Remy Ma came out, and she brought all the motherfuckers came on stage for her. That says
Thank
something
you.
About
that says a
Nicki
lot.
Nicki is so big on, like, I'm the queen. Yep. Like, I'm on top, and it's never, like, all right, like, you ain't put no other female rappers on, like, you ain't never, like, Cardi B, it's cool, like, male rappers, niggas jump on each other dick all the time. I don't understand when you see another chick from New York, why you gonna be like, yo, let me hop on this boat, that yellow remix.
Yeah.
Like, she on for the city, we gonna do it, we trying to bring
this my
New York
sister,
back.
This my girl, yeah. She from the crib. Yeah. Like, come on, that's, man.
It says something when other females don't fuck with.
Cause she's scared.
Yeah.
She got competition now, cause see, for a long time, and I don't think we touched on this yet either, like, there was nobody else but Nicki.
They disappeared. It was like
where did they
like
go?
Overnight, it was like Eve was like acting, and she was like married to that rich nigga. It was like Missy had health issues.
Yep.
Fox had some health issues. Kim went to prison.
Yep.
Rima got locked up. Gangsta Boo kind of fell back. Kim, you know, she went to prison. And she had a surgery. Like, it was like all of them just disappeared, and it was just Nicki. And it was like no female. It was like 4 years where it was like no female rappers.
Yeah. So who was she competing against herself?
Yeah.
So of course she was gonna be the hottest thing out there. Now when they start resurfacing again, you don't want to show no love.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to get money just like you.
Yeah.
And my honest opinion, you better show some love because they better than you anyway.
Yeah.
So you might want to team up with them to keep yourself afloat.
Yeah.
Or they crush you and end you.
Damn. Are you in Rhapsody?
A little bit.
Yeah, I fucks with Rhapsody. I kind of want to see it live, but when I was watching this interview with Bump J, I started thinking to myself, and I had an episode on this, why haven't the Chicago gangster rap really took off? The way, like, New York got they got Mob Deep and MOP license, like, yo, we hustle, they got the mafioso shit.
Mm-hmm.
LA, of course, you know, all the known Crips and Bloods, all the rappers. The South got the trap. But it felt like our biggest rappers, like, that's nationally known, Common, Lupe, Kanye, and they not hood, and I'm thinking, like,
that's why.
Even our, like, even Crucial, like, people outside of Chicago probably be like, oh yeah, the niggas that made Hay. And like, people know Twista probably more from Overnight Celebrity, more than Adrenaline Rush.
Yeah.
And people, real hip hop heads probably remember doing that, but it just felt like, even with the drill rappers, it felt like none of them can really, like, explode. And I never understood, it's like, Chicago, one of the hardest cities of all time, and it's just like, we never, like, our gangster niggas just never really, I don't understand why though.
Number one thing, regardless of what he's going through, you know, right now, R. Kelly is our like hugest music just being from Chicago.
Like, and so, pervert nasty.
Because, so Chicago is known for more like smooth music.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm from the Chi, so I get what you're saying about we hard as hell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on here, but Twista just wasn't marketed correctly. I mean, like, he had these small ass deals where they really didn't get him out there. Like, Twista didn't get big to overnight celebrity, but when he dropped that album, who was he with? The Rock.
Yeah.
So of course they was going to, you know, promote him and shit like that. Before that, can't nobody even tell me who the hell Twista was with or who was managing him.
Yeah.
So,
I think he was Loud Records for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so, I don't even know.
Yeah.
So, now with these new drill rappers, King Louie, I felt like would have took it there.
Mm.
If, you know, he didn't get shot.
Yeah.
You know, and this, that, and the other.
I feel like, him, I feel like. He was in my freshman year computer class.
That's fucking crazy.
And I didn't even realize it. Like, I kept looking at him and I was like, dude looks familiar. And I just typed up something in Google Images and I saw a picture and I was like, yo, that nigga was in my high school class. I remember who he was running with and shit. It's just like, he didn't have none of this happening. Of course, this is before niggas was rocking dreads and shit. It's interesting about his transition.
I feel like he would have took it there. But as far as these other little motherfuckers like Chief Keef and shit like that, like, they were like YouTube stars.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they got on.
Yeah.
They didn't really have to really grind like that. So once they got the bag, it was just like, whatever. Like, I got my money, I'm out.
Yeah.
They didn't just keep perfecting their craft or keep getting their name out there or whatever and spreading across America. And that's why it never took off, man.
I feel like G Herbo pushing.
He is pushing.
Cause
yeah,
I like this album he got. I like that song he got on his last album. It's In This Bitch.
Yeah,
that's
hot.
That's the one. That's like for me, I like when I heard I Don't Like. I always say to me, I feel like that's the modern day like Shade at a Compton. Just then, when you was kind of like you had never heard of Compton. You didn't really know about what was going on West. That I Don't Like the way it sounded. The video, it was like, this is these young Chicago niggas. These are the hitters out here. These
dreadheads, little like, niggas with guns.
Hell yeah, tagged up. Like, that was the sound. And I just always felt like, why these niggas ain't never as like, big as like the Southern. And I always feel like people don't know how to quantify the Chicago sound. Even in the 90s, I think that's where Loud struggled because when you listen to Crucial Conflict, like Smoking on Hay, you would think they're from the South.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really get, like, you don't even get, like, they was gangbanging and when they had that track, he should have broken to the left. Like, I think people didn't know how to mob because we don't have the mafioso sound in New York. Like, yo, we not giving ourselves mob names. Like, I'm Tony Luciano and shit. The gangbanging, I think people never really understand Chicago gangbanging because in LA, it's just, it's, as far as black gangs, Crips and Blood. So it's pretty much, I'm saying, red and blue. And Chicago's about 20 fucking gangs.
Easily.
Like, and like, easily. It's more complex, you know what I'm saying? So I think niggas didn't know how to market that. And I think even sonically, like, I just think people just know how to market us. And it, like, it kills me because I'm like, it's so, and then some people, you know, like Bum J, of course, the bank robbery kind of held him back. Like,
yeah.
It's like some of our rappers too, like, and he was saying that, he said, and if you like for him, he thought, him rap was like a saying. He didn't really look at it like, oh, this is
it was easy to him.
It was like, get some money and I'm going to do what I do and shit like that.
But that's why he was so good at it though.
Yeah.
Because it was a hobby.
Yeah.
And he liked doing it. And he was just like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. Let me keep putting these albums out there. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up Bump, too, because even, you know, Bump was before King Louie, of course.
Yeah.
Bump would have took us there.
Oh, my God.
Bump was getting so much buzz, man.
Like, in New York, everywhere. Like,
everywhere.
Bump would have figured he would have put the East Side on the map.
Man. And I mean, cause when you think about Chicago, all people know about Michigan Avenue, shopping, the West Side, and the South Side. People don't even recognize that it's an East Side of Chicago.
Cause like, okay, to the people that forgot, technically, there's no East Side of Chicago that's Lake Michigan. But to people in the South, from 67 to 79, Stony Island to the lake, that's the East Side.
My nigga.
That's the motherfucking East Side. Everybody's got to know what you mean. So if you ever meet somebody from the city, and they say from the East Side, that's what they referring to.
Well, if they talking about even further, state to the lake, that's the East Side. Period.
You always state?
Stay to the Lake.
They've been saying that
since forever, dog.
I wouldn't use it because
we're a little younger than them niggas. But that's what they say, man. But, man. And I'm glad you touched on the marketing thing, too, because going back to Jada, how, like, we both feel like he wasn't properly marketed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to never put Twist on the same level as Jada because it ain't happening.
Yeah.
But it's the same situation. Like, they just didn't know how to make that flower bloom. Yeah. I don't know if they ain't used the right soil, right fertilizer, whatever.
You just know Twist is like the fast rapping nigga.
Yeah. But he should have been bigger than that.
Yeah, I felt like even if he could have, like Tech N9ne, like he an underground rapper, but this nigga Tech N9ne made millions from being like, I felt Twista could have been on that level.
A bitch.
You know what I'm saying? Like, well, on the underground, everybody just like, cause Twista nice with it, and that's a weird thing with fast rapping is I think some people dismiss it as a gimmick, like, I don't know what that nigga's saying, so he's fast rapping, and like, when you really listen, like, Twista can get down. You know what I mean? Like, Bone can get down.
Oh,
like, you know
it's so many underground rappers.
Yeah.
That ended up being mainstream and made it. Why couldn't it be him? I mean, UGK. Like, I mean, they ain't called the Underground Kings for nothing, dog. Like, they were so cold. Like,
yeah,
I mean, just people like that, just name somebody off the top of the dome. You just need to be put in front of the right people and be in the right situation, man.
And Rock Elton got like Slow Jams and the Overnight Celebrity. But then he kept trying to, like, recreate them songs, too. Like, they kind of got fucked up. I'm like, damn, man, but Twista always gonna be a, that adrenaline rush, like, woof. That shit was bumping in every Regal, every Caprice.
And Twista, matter of fact, honestly, dog, even though Bum J was getting more buzz, Twista was Bum J before Bum J.
Yeah.
Because Twista would make a, would drop an album, and you would still see this nigga sitting on the porch in the hood.
Yeah.
Like, kicking it with everybody. Yeah. Like he wasn't a celebrity or something like that. So, I mean, that's how it is. Like, Bump or drop a mixtape, and you'll see Bump on 71st the next day. That's how it was. See him at the Mobile on 67th and Jeffrey or some shit like that. Like, crazy.
God damn. But I was talking to my other homie, Terrence. He's about like 6 years old. He's born 82.
Okay.
We was talking about another thing in Chicago, Juke Music, right? Mm. Which a lot of outsiders don't know.
J Chip.
And oh, I was playing that Get Down, Little Mama. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people, and I explained the last episode, if you don't understand, like, house music was been in Chicago post-disco in the early 80s.
Yes.
But a lot of the house music was playing in kind of like the downtown clubs, dance clubs. But in the ghettos of Chicago, they was playing what was called ghetto house. The BPMs was a lot faster. You wouldn't hear this in the downtown clubs. And this is where you started to get stuff like Percolator, Get Down, Little Mama, There's Some Hoes in This.
No doubt, no doubt.
And like, explain to the outsiders, like, what is like being at a house party full of sweaty ass black teenagers, 13, 14 year old girls throwing it back, like niggas footworking, like niggas holding up. Just explain that atmosphere for me.
Oh man, you trying to make me go way back. First house party. Nah, I'm not even gonna say the first house party. The best juke party I ever went to as a kid was at Mr. G's on 87th.
Mm.
They had a 8th grade graduation party and a high school graduation party. We was coming out of 8th grade.
Yeah.
And then they had one of each, and then they had the mix with both.
Mm.
Dog. I'm talking about, first I'm going to start with the footwork. So you got the song, come on. No niggas have to size niggas up, walk around in a circle for five damn minutes.
Yeah.
Looking them up and down.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, this nigga just get doing the craziest shit with his fucking leg.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to us, man. Like, that's our culture in Chicago. And like, hold him up, hold his shirt up.
So basically,
you got a nigga with his shirt being held up. He look like a spinning top.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what he looked like.
Yeah.
But back to the home. Oh my god. I'm talking about, this is the first time I seen thongs, all type of shit.
Man.
I'm talking about, I remember the song that was playing that night. It was Styles, I Get High.
Right?
I'm talking about, this girl had the biggest ass.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's basically anal with clothes on. Like, if you want me to break it down to this, like, man, to the micro filters of it, like, that's all it is, man.
Like, when Chance came out with that, what was that, Juke Jam song he came out with? And like, I can tell there's like, cause I'm an actor, so there's like niggas like that song where like, I'm like, nah, y'all don't know what juking is. Y'all don't know what slow juking is. Like, y'all don't know what it's like to be at Nitro or the rink and like, it's the 14-year-old girls that'll make you go like, whoa, like.
Like these little bitches look like they ride dick. They ride dick better than grown folks. Like, I'm talking about, you on the flow. This girl on top of you, she just moving. Like, and don't let her really get into it. She might start coming out of her clothes a little bit. Like, it get crazy in there. And like you said, dog, we was 14, 13 years old.
We weren't no pills. We weren't popping pills.
No, everybody was sober.
Everybody was sober.
We weren't even smoking weed.
There was no Xanny. Because that's another thing I'm talking about. When we was coming up, like, I remember, like, black people, because rappers are talking about exes.
Yeah.
But when we was in high school, like, if a nigga said he was on pills, you
we looked at you like you was a drug addict.
You like, boy, like, I remember when I went to Texas and hang around white people, and they was talking about doing coke and shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, what they do that at?
Yeah, it's just like, boy, you a fiend. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit ain't even cool. And then it's crazy how, like,
now it's the thing.
Now it's like, whatever. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Man. I don't want to sound like the motherfucking black man holding up the goddamn flag, but we walking around doing pills. Like, it's just recreational drugs, like we white folks doing lines and just going to work.
Yeah.
Like, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't be that acceptable, dog. Yeah. Like, but it is.
Yeah.
But like you said, we wasn't doing none of that shit.
Yeah.
We didn't even know what pills was.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you see niggas selling pills all day, every day now.
Yeah.
Y'all selling prescription drugs.
Yeah.
As like it's coke or something. Like, it's crack.
Was just rocks, blows.
It was just rocks. And weed, matter of fact, it wasn't even loud, it was dro.
Yeah, that's it.
That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, it was like, dro, got dro. Now you be on the train, I'm like, oh,
speaking of that, man, I'm talking about, you would have never dreamed of selling drugs on the train back
then. Oh,
man. That's just, you just asking to be arrested.
Yeah.
Now these motherfuckers walk up and down the L cars all day doing this shit. I'm like, what? I'm just like,
they got whole teams and shit. I'm like, this shit is
motherfuckers coming up to you with suitcases.
Yeah,
they got loud CDs, movies, socks, towels, batteries, lighters, squares, everything.
DVD man, I love DVD on that shit. You caught some shit with that? You like, oh, you got paid in full on that? Let me get that shit. Like, remember the R. Kelly tape? Like,
oh man,
I will say it was kind of regretful. It was like when we didn't look at it as like, yo, this nigga fucking a kid. It was like. Niggas was just wilding like, yo, he pissed on the chick. Like,
that's what we was focused on.
And then you look back and be like, yo, this nigga was fucking a 13-year-old girl. Like, how mad? Like, niggas was watching in the barber shops and shit. Like,
yes.
And it was so crazy. Like, I remember that scene when he was like eating her pussy, like, and the nigga called his name in the background. He was like, yo, Robert. Yeah. Like, this like, R. Kelly's a wild man. Cause I remember hearing rumors that he was at Kenwood. Like, I remember Tiffany started telling me about
that.
And it was like, for real? Like, R. Kelly? Like,
I heard a couple of girls say that though. Yeah. Even ones that was at Kenwood before Tiffany.
Yeah.
I could believe it.
I'm like, damn, man. That shit was wild. But, like I was saying, this, at a juke party, wasn't nobody on pill. Niggas is sober. Like, people weren't really, I mean, like, niggas was smoking, but it wasn't like the whole party was gonna be full of, cause sometimes this would be at a parent's house. Like, this wasn't like, underground, this would be like somebody's 15th birthday, and you had parents there, and it was like niggas was wild, so you wasn't gonna have a lot of like
turn the lights out, turn the music up loud. If you was lucky, you might have had a disco, a little fake plug in disco light, and that was the party.
Yeah.
We ain't had no drinks, we didn't even have no pop. Yeah. Like we ain't need none of that none shit. Of that
just a wild the fuck out, man. But before we go, you married?
Indeed.
You married with a daughter. How was your daughter?
5 years old.
5 years old. So you're a family man. How is it being a family man? Because you don't want to have the group that's like married after Tiffany's married, but she has more
shit. I love it, man.
Mm.
I mean, it's I'm not gonna lie and say it's something I dreamed of, but as a man, I knew I was gonna marry this girl when I met her.
Mm.
My thing was
the story, how y'all meet.
So we met in high school. We actually met freshman orientation.
Mm.
And our mothers were talking like they were best friends.
Yeah.
Never met each other day in their damn life.
Yeah.
And we were looking at each other like, God, I wish our mothers would stop talking to each other so we could move on and go, you know, get back to the crib or whatever. Yeah. So we didn't really like each other like that at first. But we had lunch together and we just became friends. And then it's funny because I was talking to her. She was like, I remember you now. And I'm like, what you mean? She was like, y'all, you went to O'Keefe? I'm like, yeah. She's like, y'all school used to whoop our school ass in basketball. And I remember you seeing, cause she went to Horseman.
Oh,
and
shit.
I remember seeing her, she was a cheerleader.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, a good team, cause like Ryan and y'all was on
that
team.
Yeah. Yeah, we was team. Big too.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
some damn eighth graders yeah. and seventh graders. But,
was
so,
Alex on that team?
For a little while.
Okay.
He was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But, anyway. So, meeting in high school,
yeah.
and I'm just like, this girl, this is the one. I'm like, but I knew I wasn't ready. So I'm just like, I just gotta hope when I am ready, there ain't nobody else snatched up.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, that didn't happen because we broke up in college.
Mm.
Dated all through high school, kind of, sort of. Broke up in college, and then we got back together, and then that's when we got married.
Mm.
So, I mean, we got a long history, man. I mean, we've been married for almost 6 years. May 31st will be 6 years. But we've been together since 14.
Holy fuck, goddamn.
Like, and you can easily sit there and say off and on or whatever, but
yeah.
I feel like it's been 14 years straight because I ain't never loved a woman like I loved her.
Mm.
Like, never. I can honestly
yeah.
say that.
Yeah.
That's why it was always so easy for me to come back, because shit, I ain't gonna lie, I was a dog. She left my ass all the times we broke up.
Yeah.
She just took my nothing ass back. I finally got my shit together then. You know,
yeah.
we have our pride and joy. And we actually had Kaylin got married in the same year.
Mm.
Yep. 2014.
Okay. Damn.
Yep. Kayla was born July
31st. Yeah.
And we got married May 31st. So she was 7 months pregnant at our marriage.
Oh yeah, she was okay. Yeah, yeah. And, I remember going to your wedding. That was beautiful because it was like, damn, Chris getting married, like niggas getting grown. I was like, this is interesting. But I saw, because you can always see, even sometimes at a wedding, it's like, is this some real love or is this some kind of like, we've been together, fuck it, let's get married.
Nah, it's yeah. perfect because you was at my wedding.
Yeah.
Is that the first time you saw me cry in your life?
I think it was.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think me and Justin both was. Cause it's sometimes, you know, like, it's real, like, sometimes seeing a man cry kind of uncomfortable.
It is.
Kinda, like,
but in a situation like that,
it's
just so real.
It's real, you
it's
know what I mean?
From the heart.
Like, you can't, what else can you do? Like, the woman you love and shit, yeah.
I'm talking about, cause my boy Alex, you know what I'm saying, he kind of took over the reins a little bit after we all went to high school. You know, we went in the same schools or whatever, but he was my boy all through high school, like y'all was my boys all through grammar school.
Yeah.
He was my best man and whatnot. He was just like, man, look at your girl, G. I took one look at it and I just started crying, man. Like, I'm like, and I'm in my head like, what the fuck am I crying for?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, she's so fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, is she mine?
Yeah,
like, I was proud as hell,
yeah.
dog.
Damn, man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful to hear, man. Yeah. I remember I was like, damn, this is like really lovely. Like, he's like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, fuck, you know what I mean?
A lot of people sit there and they, I do this for my family. I do that. Nigga, I will die
yeah.
for my girls.
Yeah.
If need be.
Yeah.
And won't think twice about it.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Damn. Shit, that's some real shit. That's some real grown man shit. That's beautiful though, man. Shit. I'm glad y'all still together. I hope y'all forever, man. You know, 20
man.
Years, 30
50.
Years now. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. He said easy.
Easy. Easy work. Like
yeah.
Mayweather used to say.
Damn, now your daughter, you think she gonna be big? Like, what? I was not as big as
you. Oh, shit.
Cause your sister big, right?
My sister is pretty short.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause she was like, she was
like 5'2", dog.
Oh, no, that's
boy.
Your sister.
She never grew anymore.
Nigga, she
from
was like,
the last time.
From the last time I saw her.
See,
like,
that was the thing because yeah. y'all was, you know, she was around y'all
yeah.
height.
Yeah.
Then of course y'all shot up some more,
yeah.
but dog, my sister like 5'2", 5'3".
Whoa.
She has not grown.
Damn.
Like JJ about 6'4".
Damn, that's
but
crazy.
But that's just the men in our family.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
but going back to my daughter, I ain't gonna lie, man. My wife almost 6 feet. I'm 6'8", 6'9", so.
Yeah.
I put it to you like this. I don't know how tall she gonna be, but she already, right now, she 46 inches tall when she 5.
Mm.
Exactly.
Damn.
So. That's the best I can say. I don't know.
What
kind of,
you putting her on some hip hop or you think she's too young to be really listening to rap?
Because
we was young as hell listening to that shit.
I try to find some clean albums for
yeah.
but it's very few.
yeah.
So I'm not even gonna lie,
yeah.
I ain't really got into the hip hop
yeah.
thing yet. But she know basketball though.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Damn.
She can tell you a lot about basketball. We sit there and watch games together.
Mm.
I mean, and I try to do for her I try to be better than my parents.
Yeah.
You know, we wasn't in a lot of programs and stuff like that growing up. So, my daughter's in tumbling. Yeah. She in ballet. Mm. Like, she gonna hoop whenever we get rid of this stupid ass coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things of that nature. I try to put her in everything as long as she's interested.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not gonna force anything on her. But the one thing, I ain't gonna lie, I do kinda wanna force this on her. And I don't even know if you know this about me. I am a great piano player.
What?
Yes. And I want, my grandmother taught me how to play the piano when we in grammar school. So,
damn.
So, you know, I remember we was in Miss Taylor's music class and shit.
Yeah.
I knew how to read music then.
Yeah.
Cause my grandmother was teaching me every Saturday just because she plays the piano.
Yeah.
She had an old ass piano that she got tuned up in her crib.
Yeah.
I want to teach my daughter how to play the piano.
Oh.
I kinda do want to force that on her.
Yeah.
And my wife is a singer.
Mm.
That's actually what she got her, scholarship to Hampton, though.
Okay.
Was singing.
Oh, she went to Hampton.
Yeah,
okay.
She graduated from Hampton.
Okay, yeah.
So she got a scholarship off singing. So my wife is a singer. I'm athletic and can play the piano. So, I mean, Kayla gonna be great at something.
Yeah, that's always, you gotta get, like, that's what I regret too. I mean, obviously, you know, when I was like single mom and she was working at Kmart, like, I wish I could have been in so many programs and learned all these, like, different skills and talent and just even something to do. You know what I mean? Like, we
let's stay busy. We
you
didn't
know
have
what I'm
it.
Saying? Like, it's just like play video games, go outside.
Man, we hooped in the alley on a crate. You hear me?
We sure did.
Hey, if you got to jump on a crate, you got to jump on any basketball rim in America.
Hell
that's all I'm going to say.
Damn, I forgot about that crate.
With a backboard that we made from a piece of plywood from somewhere.
Oh, right. Shit.
Niggas,
and then
all night. You got a crate, you got a basketball game.
Oh, shit, man. God damn, man. You took me back, man. This is a great episode. What we at? Let's see what the time. This is another hour and a half episode, man. Like,
nice.
This was nice, but we're going to outro with this. Thank my homie Big Chris for coming through.
No doubt. Thank you, man.
Hit you with a Chi-Town legend.
You want me to talk about
okay,
when I came home at night and my shot to ask you what I did today?
That's their bullshit on YouTube. They always play these master classes shit. Here we go. This is for y'all real hip hop heads, y'all hip hop fiends. Oh yeah.
Mm.
You just knew some dope shit was coming when you heard it.
It
got
you.
It got
you.
This is a hard intro. People forget about when they talk about intros, like.
That's the first thing you hear on an album, dog. Like, you gotta get the people's attention.
Fucking Common, man. I might put Common in my top five too, man. Common is a top three album of all time
to me. I don't care what nobody say. They can't force me to say otherwise.
Yeah. God damn. It's Black Noise.
Yeah.
Mm.
And everything a nigga did when I do what he might say.
From Stony. I'm on the phone.
Gang bang, hard as hell. Jesse Owens part. Man, and they still be deep in that motherfucker. Just in case you were wondering.
Black Noise, another episode for y'all. Come on, let's just ride out.
True.
You know my favorite track on here is The World Is Yours. No, it's your world. It's your
world.
Man, this is so nasty on here. Peace. Black Noise for you.